two hosts and an enforcer. It's Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson.
Oh, yes, it is. And you can always call us at 617-779-7937. We love our callers. Christian Arcan in studio with us. And a gentleman who just called in, Mr. Steve in the Truck. Let's go ahead and pull up Steve in the Truck. Steve in the Truck called in a minute ago because he had a massive problem with one of our other callers. Steve, once again, who is the caller that you had a big problem with, and why do you detest this human being?
It's not a problem. It's when a guy gets on the air and he spews out things that's never going to happen, and he constantly does it. Like I said, about a year and a half or so ago, in the ML was coaching, he was talking about bringing Brady back and getting the band back together with Gronk. Stuff like that's never going to happen. Don't talk nonsense. He even does it with the Red Sox.
And who are you talking about, Steve? Who are you talking about?
Paulie. Remember Rocky's brother-in-law? Yo, Paulie?
Yes. I definitely know Paulie. Now, so you think that is a take you've been holding on for a year and a half to that really made you angry, right?
Well, it's just nonsense. It's just total nonsense.
Well,
if you're going to bring something to the table, bring at least.
Yeah, well,
AJ, why is AJ Brown? How does he know AJ Brown's knees have been getting drained all the time? He's full of it. He has no knowledge of that.
Well, Steve, why don't you just sit right there? Because on line two, ladies and gentlemen, it is Paulie.
Good.
Paulie, what's happening, man? You want to respond to this guy?
Yeah, hey, Steve, for starters, I got a Boston College education. I got a Boston College education.
I'm proud of you, brother.
I was named Sports Talk Radio Caller of the Year for the United States in 2005.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to guess that you got no further than a high school education, and you're not.
Well,
I've never heard of you before.
Paulie,
so you're hardly even a conference on Sports Talk
Radio. I'm a lot older than you, and I've been listening to talking sports.
I listen to your crap. Now you're gonna listen to me, okay? They drained his
year.
Are you gonna listen to me? They drained his knee twice a week last year. Twice a week. That's a fact. I heard that on another very another sports talk radio station today. All right, from a very reliable source. Twice a week last year. Okay.
Why don't you reveal your source so we can all join in on the fun?
Nobody in the league offered him a one except for the Patriots. The Rams were interested until they saw his knee, and then they backed off. Okay. This is Vrabel's boy. There you got beat. He's not worth more than a three. Other general managers said in the league, he's not worth more than a three. If you want to throw in Kayshon Booty, I'll give you a four. That's it. We got me and Randy Moss for a four, and he was in great condition. All right? Now, your Tom Brady thing? You still with me?
I'm listening
all
to
right.
rhetoric.
You're Tom Brady? Okay. Tom, who wouldn't have want to have Tom Brady back?
I don't think anybody would have won.
Tom Brady could still play today.
Right.
Okay, he could play at least 50.
Right.
He could play today.
He got beat in the flag football.
He'd be a top 10 quarterback
sure
in the league.
Sure he can.
All
he
right?
just hit once, he'll be
now,
gone.
How many players did Belichick bring back to the New England Patriots that he had let go in the past? A few. Why wouldn't he bring back Tom Brady?
Gentlemen. Steve, I just want to say, Paulie's kind of giving you a beatdown right now, Steve. You going to take this?
Oh, yeah, he's trying anyway.
This ain't the first time, Rich, I've come across the likes of a guy like this. I call
well,
him
you know what,
Paulie?
I listen to all your garbage. Now listen to some of mine, okay?
What I speak is the truth.
I want you to reveal your sources about his
name. Steve, you're making it up. All right? I speak
no, really? Listen, you can
okay.
yell as loud as you want. Doesn't mean you're right, brother.
I'm not always right. Just maybe 90% of the time.
No, you're never right.
I'm ready. Well, very highly respected and well-liked caller. I'm not for my ideas in the business, okay?
And that, brother. Now, let me ask you a question, okay?
Paulie just dropped.
Mic drop.
Steve, Paulie couldn't take the heat. Paulie just hung up.
Look, let me make a prediction. I'm sure he's listening. I think they're going to win 11 to 12 games.
All right, so, no, Paul, really, Steve, I don't care anymore. I don't care about that. I just know that, dude, you.
So I won the battle?
I think. Paulie
just
default,
pushed out.
By
I think,
default.
I think Paulie just. He just gave up.
Out.
He couldn't take the heat, Steve. I got a feeling that you right now are king of the callers. King of
well,
the
you know
regular
what?
4 p.m. callers.
Take the heat from a 73-year-old guy.
You know what? If I was Paulie, I wouldn't be able to show my face around anymore unless I was able to somehow get back on the phone and take away that take that crown back, because I don't know if we can take any calls from Paulie anymore. That I really feel bad that
no, you got to keep taking him. I want to keep listening to him.
Okay, oh, I thought you hated him. Now you want him there?
It's
not a point of hate. It's not a point of hate. I just want to listen to the rhetoric. That's all.
Congratulations, Steve.
Oh, hang on.
Steve,
I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm here.
I'm sorry. Turn the music off. This is like a Jason movie where you think you've killed him. On line two, ladies and gentlemen, it's Paulie. Paulie.
Oh, my God.
You know, I thought it got dropped. The line went dead, and I thought it got dropped, so I hung up. I'm back in
doubt. Likely story, Paulie.
Seemed unlike him to do that.
Paulie, that is
on the ropes right now.
Yeah, Paulie.
Steve's on the ropes with all his false accusations. What are you going to say, Steve? Come on, give me some more. Tough guy, bring me some more, Paulie.
If you let me talk, I will, Big Mouth.
Go ahead.
All right. I just made a prediction. I said I think they win 11 or 12 games this year. I think he has an 1,100-yard season, and he has at least 10 touchdowns. Now, give me what
you think we're headed in the right direction or the wrong direction, Steve?
We're absolutely
headed in the right direction.
I just said we're going in the right direction. Open your ears.
Okay. We disagree again. As fast as you saw that turnaround last year. Now, listen, the faster you saw that turnaround last year, you're seeing the swing pendulum swinging the other way now this time.
Oh, brilliant.
It was exposed in his personal life, all right? And what he was doing, negative.
It has nothing to do with the game.
All right. Stephen Paulie.
Supposed to help the running game.
Stephen Paulie. All right. I'm going to pot you down
now
if you don't listen to me. Pot him down.
In. Now they got sucking in on a deal.
Okay. Paulie, shut your mouth for a moment, okay? Listen, I know you're feeling.
Do you one favor, Steve. Stephen, do you want.
All right. Are they both on hold?
They're on hold.
All right, check on him again. Let's see what he's doing.
Which one?
Put him on.
Both?
Yeah, both. They still talk?
Save your ass.
He's still talking.
Paulie,
shut
you
your face.
Steve, we're heading in the wrong
direction. All right, hold up on hold.
It's like watching a cockfight.
All right, put on hold. Is Paulie going to still be talking? Let's check on him in 3, 2, 1.
Yo.
Okay, all right.
Steve, you're going to send me a
Paulie, shut up. Shut up for 1 second. Paulie, I want to talk to you. All right. Paulie, are you there? Okay, let's hear. He's still there.
Yesterday. Big deal.
Jesus, he's still talking. All right, put them both on. And if they're all still talking, then nobody would.
Yeah,
all right.
Put them on.
Okay, Paulie and Steve, listen to me. All right?
I'm right here. Yep.
I am very proud of both of you. You came on here. You defended your honor. Steve, you called out Paulie. And Paulie, you did not back down. I like that about you. But I think the only
I beat him good.
I don't know.
Steve, hit in the wrong direction. Take the under.
All right.
Take the under. I'm going to help you here.
Paulie, shut your face for a second. Paulie, I love you. You got to shut your face. All right. Paulie, listen to me. Here's what we're going to do. In order to finally officially solve this, I think that you guys need to spend some time together. I am right now.
Oh, my God. I don't think so.
I am right now on Fandango.com. And I am about to buy you both a pair of tickets to The Devil Wears Prada 2. I would like it if you guys together could break bread. You know what? I'll even buy you dinner at Tate. You can have like a nice little dinner out. I'll send you to go see The Devil Wears Prada 2. And then the next day, I guarantee you will see each other in a different light. What do you guys think about that?
I appreciate the offer, but I'm sorry I have to decline.
I don't just come on and start with other people because I'm jealous of them. I don't do that. I let people say what they want.
I'm highly jealous, brother. Believe me.
I don't want to. All right. Well, Paulie and Steve, thank you so much.
I'm going to tell you. Take the under.
Enough talking. Now I'm over it. Okay. Thank you, Paulie and Steve. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Unbelievable.
Can I go to Pat on line 3? Yes. Pat, what's happening, buddy?
I was just wondering what we did as an audience to have to deserve that. I felt like I was stuck in line at Dunkin' Donuts in South Boston. And oh, my God, that was brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Sorry, Pat.
Thank you, Pat. Let's go to Tim on line four. Tim, what's up, buddy?
Afternoon, boys. You know what? I got to agree with Paulie.
Wow.
I heard the same report that he heard. He not only had two shots last year, but he also missed two games with his knee last year, and he missed four games the year before. And I also, nothing against Steve, but I also agree that they overpaid. Who are they bidding against?
Rams.
You know, a third-round pick would have been fair. A fourth-round pick with Butte would have been fair. But to be giving them a first-round pick when there's nobody else in the world that's bidding against them, and they backed Philadelphia, backed themselves into a corner. They had to trade him because they invested so much in the offseason in the wide receiver position, including the first-round pick. They had to get rid of him. Why are you paying so much when Philadelphia was in a fire sale situation? I hope he has a great season this year, but they overpaid.
Well, Tim, I just got to say, you made Paulie's day, and so because of that, I'm going to send you and Paulie to go see The Devil Wears Prada 2. I've already purchased the tickets, if you would like to do that.
No, I spend my free time at the casino playing poker. Give me a buy-in at the Encore, and I'll go along with it.
Hell yeah, Tim. Thanks for calling, my man.
All right.
All right. Well, that was about as towny as we're going to get for a while. That was, wow. I've got my fix. I feel like I need to have a roast beef in front of me. We are good to go. North Shore beef, baby. Somebody get me one. You know what? Let's do a little DoorDash so we can feel it. Really feel it firsthand. Oh, man. I think I need a smoke.
Well, you want Turpin instead?
Let's 2 minutes. 2 minutes to Turp. We're not going anywhere. 2 minutes to Turp, and we will do that next.
And the magic of being a Patriot wears off a little bit, and you get into the season. What do you have to do for you to feel like, or what
do I have to do?
Yeah, or what is it your kind of percentage or role of the offense have to be to feel like that you're fulfilling what you feel like you want to do?
I'm just going to work hard and let the chips fall where they may, you know. Go out there and make plays and, you know, help my teammates. That's all. So.
Oh, the magic of the Patriots. I'm very happy to say that was not a question that was asked by our next guest.
No, you kidding? Tier 1 Terp does not ask meandering questions.
No.
Short, open-ended, to the point. Cutting questions.
Without question. It is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson, Christian Arcanon here in studio with us today. 617-779-7937. By the way, real quick, before we get to Terp, like this whole thing about, I heard the report that just a source has been saying about A.J. Brown's knees being drained. Christian, you made a great point off the air. That's like a two-year-old report.
Yeah, that was in the Super Bowl run in 2024, and he talked about it last summer on Pardon My Take. And last year, he missed two games, one with a hamstring and one because he got his wisdom teeth out. So those had nothing to do with his knee last year.
Yeah, that is not like, I heard today there's an inside source telling me that story's been out there forever. And right, it didn't affect his game at all. So there you go. But I do appreciate them bringing it up. It is an interesting part of this, just like Mr. Terp is. Justin Turpin, my man down over there shaking the tree, getting some answers down over at Gillette Stadium today and seeing the introduction of A.J. Brown, actually seeing A.J. Brown on the field and Drake May as well. Mr. Terp, Paulie versus Steve in the truck, who you got?
but say A.J. Brown?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean...
He didn't hear the prank.
I honestly, I missed that. I was on speaker. I just flipped it back off.
No,
now that I'm on, I'm good.
No problem. It was a little bit of a listener battle we had a minute ago. But Terp, so what was your takeaway today from seeing A.J. Brown out there? First, let's talk about him on the field before the podium. What did you make of what you saw?
I mean, honestly, there wasn't much on the field. Like, he didn't really participate in any of the group, in the team stuff. He really participated in the group and the individual. So there really wasn't a ton there. And really through the OTAs, it's all kind of install stuff anyway. So he was really off to the side for most of the day with the receivers coach Todd Downing and the offensive coordinator, obviously Josh McDaniel. So there really wasn't a whole lot there to take away from on the field. But he was vocal. I was kind of surprised at first when they were doing the individual stuff that he wasn't the one leading the group. He wasn't first in line. And then he was asked about that later on during the press conference and said that he felt like he had earned that slot. So that makes sense. But really, it was just kind of his leadership being out there. He was talkative for the whole time, though really wasn't involved in the on-the-field stuff a ton.
You know, we were talking about how he had done some kind of passive-aggressive things on social media when he was with the Eagles, and I guess he had spoken today about how, or spoken earlier this week, about how that was a message he was trying to send to his players. Do you see him doing things like that when you've got a guy like Mike Vrabel as your coach as opposed to Nick Sirianni?
I don't. I mean, clearly there was something there with Nick Sirianni that they didn't really like each other. I think back to that video of them in the tunnel and like Sirianni was like clapping and yelling stuff and A.J. Brown just looks at him and kind of rolls his eyes. Like, he clearly wasn't very happy there. He talked on a podcast recently about his relationship with Jalen Hurts and that kind of fell off and they just kind of grew apart and they weren't really getting along either. So I think a change of scenery was necessary and that's why they were so willing and eager to trade him. But I don't really see that with Mike Vrabel, because was this really a conversation when he was in Tennessee? Like, this wasn't a thing when he was with the Titans. This was more of a thing when he was traded to Philadelphia. So I really don't see it as an issue. And I feel like we had the same conversation last year with Stephon Diggs. I think it is a little bit different when you're tied to a guy for multiple seasons, where obviously Diggs is one and done. But that never came to about last year with Diggs. So I don't really see that as an issue. I think he was just done with Philadelphia. And that was another thing I really took away from today. He just seems so humble. Like, a lot of the times it's more so like with the head coaches and whatnot when you're really overanalyzing these opening press conferences and whatnot, but it's hard to walk away from that one and not feel great about what he had to say and just how he's feeling and how happy he is to be here.
Did you sense any magic, Terp? Did he have an aura?
I think he did, because judging by the 40 cameras that ran over the fence when he opened through the door and was walking across the field, I think that would fit the aura description there. So yeah, I mean, there was like players going over to him. There was like clearly he was just meeting a couple of them. Like, there was Lan Larison went over there and like introduced himself to him. So there was clearly that aura a little bit of, if you want to go with that term.
You know, there was a discussion earlier, and I keep forgetting who said it. It was Damian Woody, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
He was saying on ESPN earlier that he believes now that the Patriots have the best receiving core in the league.
And Orlovsky, I think, seconded that.
Yeah. He seemed to agree as well. What is your take on that, Terp?
I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals exist with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and the crew they've got over there. It'd be hard to go pick the Patriots receiving group over them. The Patriots have a top five receiving core, but I don't think I'd go as far as say as the best in the league. Like, that Cincinnati tandem is really, really scary. And obviously, like, I think a lot of people are hesitant, like, when they have the Patriots a little bit lower. Like, obviously, those guys are higher, but I've seen people kind of lower on the Patriots, and I think that's because of the unknowns with Romeo Doubs. Like, can he be a number two? Like, can he kind of raise his level now that he's out of Green Bay, obviously in Green Bay, they spread the ball around a ton. They get the tight ends involved. They throw the backs out of the backfield. There's a lot going on there. Like, does an increased opportunity kind of raise his ceiling a little bit? And I think it does. Like, I think he's closer to that number two than people might give him credit for. So I wouldn't go as far to say as the Patriots have the best receiving core, because obviously the Rams exist, the Bengals exist, like the Steelers even, who got Michael Pittman this year and paired him with DK Metcalf. So I think there are three or four better than them, but they are certainly in the top five.
Terp, one of the things that I think has the real excitement going there and everywhere throughout Patriot Nation right now is how out of character this is for this team to do something like this. Was there any talk down there about the process to get it over the finish line and any maybe hiccups over the last 3 months that may have arisen outside of, you know, the Rams getting involved? Like, was there pushback? Did it appear that way?
No, it certainly didn't appear that way. And it feels like, for the most part, like even the last couple of weeks just being down here, they've been doing these availabilities like once or twice a week. And it feels like it's kind of been a foregone conclusion that he was going to be here. And A.J. Brown was asked like pretty explicitly, he was like, hey, when did you find out you were going to be a Patriot? And he said it wasn't until the day of, which I find really hard to believe, because it feels like this has kind of been a thing for a while now. And like any player that's been asked about it is kind of winked and nodded like, if it happens, but it's kind of like was the worst kept secret in the NFL. So I get the sense that it really wasn't all that complicated, and maybe there was some issues with the compensation, but it felt like this thing from the start was going to get over the hump, and it did.
Terp, we had Jeremy Fowler from ESPN on yesterday, and he said something that caught my attention probably more than almost anything else involving A.J. Brown. He said that he didn't believe that the Patriots were done, and mentioned that they could potentially be going after an edge rusher as well. I asked him, can you give me some names of who you think they might be considering? He said Josh Sweat of Arizona, Kayvon Thibodeau from the Giants. Do you believe with all of the money they're about to give Christian Gonzalez and this huge move they just made for A.J. Brown that they would continue to push their chips towards the center of the table and go in on getting an edge rusher?
I think they would. I think that's something you have to do when you have your quarterback on a rookie deal right now, when he's making as little as he is in the grand scheme of things. Like, yeah, you're going to have to pay Christian Gonzalez and you're eventually going to have to pay Drake May. But until that payday specifically for Drake May comes, yeah, you should be going all in. Like, you always hear about how important it is for teams to win when their quarterbacks are on these rookie deals. And that's where the Patriots are at right now. So they've obviously spent this offseason, and, you know, they're trying to load up. But there are still positions of need, and edge rusher is a big one. Like, they got Draymond Jones. They feel good about him. But, yeah, there are names available that are out there that are open for business to trade. And I think they should absolutely do it, and I don't see why they wouldn't. Like, I think they've shown a willingness to be aggressive. I think they're looking at the AFC as a whole and thinking, like, why can't we win this thing? Like, it's really, there's no juggernaut in the AFC right now. It's wide open, as we saw last year. In fact, the Patriots should hold the AFC until further notice. They won it last year. So, yeah, I think they should absolutely go into it, and I think they will.
So, Terp, Vrabel spoke before the practice and said he expects Gonzalez to be there next week, which is mandatory minicamp. Do you believe that? That seems shocking that he would show up next week.
I bet he shows up, but I doubt he does anything. It'll be kind of like that Terry McLaurin last year, how he was there on the sideline, he's hanging out there and just doesn't really participate in one of those hold-in scenarios.
Yeah,
I think that's what I'd imagine it to be. I mean, I'd expect him to be present. He didn't elaborate on him actually being on the field. Like, yeah, he'll be on the field, but he'll be in slides and a bucket hat. He's not going to be participating, I would imagine.
Yeah, it seems to me like if he was smart, he wouldn't get himself injured. He wouldn't go out there. I just think that they're going to set the market with him. It's such an un-Patriots-like offseason. It really is. But we also have to remember, this is not Bill Belichick's Patriots anymore. This is a completely different mindset. You got a completely different coach. And as long as you got the Krafts going along with it, then it seems like everything they're doing is the right thing right now.
100%. You're capitalizing on the window right now. Like, yep. Again, it goes back to the quarterback being on the rookie deal. It goes back to the AFC being open. Like, you feel really good. Like, you were way ahead of the rebuild last year. I don't think anyone expected that reasonably. Like, anyone before the season thought they were going to be in the Super Bowl and Drake May was going to take the leap that he did. That just raised you. It raised your level so high. Like, you're just way further ahead than you thought you were. So why not go all in while you have the chance here? And that's what it seems like they're doing.
Well, Terp, great stuff. You can obviously read all of Terp's stuff at WEEI.com. And he's also on all the different shows. He's top-tier Terp. He's like, yeah. Not Celtics, Red Sox.
Social media clips.
Media clips. He is everywhere. Thanks for coming on with it. We really appreciate it, Terp.
Thanks, Terp.
All right. Anytime, guys.
All right, we'll see you, man. 617-779-7937. We'll be right back.
While you were an Eagle, you had this rug in your house?
Absolutely.
You got to tell me why.
You know, some things just never change. You know, this is my team. This is my team since I was a kid. So it didn't matter. I mean, I was doing what I was supposed to be doing as an Eagle. But this is it.
Ken requested this, right?
Exactly.
I immediately think of Ken when I hear this.
Stiz, who is this?
Kendrick Lamar. Yeah.
I was quizzing you.
Jackson, hold that up. Let me just see it real quick.
Hold on, what is Jackson at? Oh, boy. Oh, wow.
Okay, good.
Okay. Dale Ordway has some signage.
Dale Ordway's going to be out at Fenway tonight. And he's got a specially made sign over there at the old Staples.
I don't know. People are pretty high on the Red Sox right now. Are they going to respond well to that? They might.
I hope
they might
will.
Be a backlash. Maybe they like attack him.
Well, then maybe they'll be honest. We'll see. You know, that's why it's recorded. If the bit stinks, we don't play it. If it's good, then great. Something I've learned in my years of doing street audio. No. It's a secret. You can't spoil it today. There's YouTubers watching. You got to keep that. I almost swore. You got to keep that stuff off the camera, my friend. You know.
Is he going to wear a costume? Can I ask that? Is he going to, like, dress up somehow?
I was thinking about that. Have him look like a dapper dandy, you know, kind of like
a cigar.
The, you know, or like the, almost like one of the barbershop quartet looking guys.
Yeah, one of those hats, the flat white hats with the.
Sure. Hi, I'm Dale Ordway.
I mean, I can do the voice, but I can't do the dressing up.
Can you do the John Henry voice? Can I hear it?
Hi, I'm John Henry.
That's not bad.
Perfect. How you doing?
That is not bad.
David Ortiz rallying to John Henry's defense. Did you hear that? Your man Roach was grilling him over there?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Did David Ortiz rip on Roach? There is a compilation out there. Dan Roach is the nicest human being on the planet. He's like the greatest guy. As I said, I'll fight anyone who has anything ever bad to say about Dan Roach. He's literally one of my favorite people on the planet. But David Ortiz just loved ripping on him. There's a clip of him one time saying, "Is that Roach over there? That's my bitch." Like, he called like Dan Roach's bitch one time at like this big press conference where there's like all of his people from his colleagues, like from all the other stations. He goes, "Oh, Dan Roach, that's my bitch."
Are you thinking with two C's? Is that the way you're supposed to say it?
Well, that's such a great question that he asked Drake May. It was a fantastic question. But no, so this is Roach talking to
the Big Poppy.
Okay, let's hear it.
Back in place. So
you see a different side of John Henry. Tell us from what you see. Is the passion still there for him? Does he still want to win world championships?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a conversation with him last week. And of course, John is as worried as we are. You know, he's a winner. He's a winner. If you look at the history of John, he's a winner. That's why he came here, because he want to win. And he want to continue providing and giving back. It just matter of time. You know, we have been in a situation in that type of shape before, and all of a sudden things change.
There you go. Just a matter of time. Durbin turning around. We had a Lorenzo in here.
I listen, David Ortiz, the one thing I do like is that he's not Tom Brady in that he loves the Red Sox. He's someone that if you asked him who was going to win the World Series and the Red Sox were in it, he wouldn't say Tom Brady said?
No dog in this fight.
No, right. David Ortiz would say absolutely the Red Sox.
He gets
Sox.
An A-Rod's face on national TV.
Yeah, duh, Yankees lose.
Right.
He wears his love of the Red Sox on his sleeve. I love that. He has become a little bit of a company man.
Well,
by the way, Lorenzo's first client, A-Rod.
Oh, really? Lorenzo from Gratum G-Swing.
Yes.
I don't think I'd brag about that.
Now we're getting into the heart of some of the...
I mean,
do you think...
Because he was also a client of somebody else. Somebody who was,
He had to correct his swing after that.
Sure.
His swing was all out of whack.
Different type of correction. Chemical
correction.
Yeah,
but Lorenzo doesn't seem to have the kind of guy to mixed, client.
No, mixed, Lorenzo's great. We had him on the batting coach. But yeah, I mean, David Ortiz... As I said, I love the fact that he bleeds Red Sox. He's just a somebody that you want to be the face of your organization whenever you want a good quote. But he has been a little bit of a company man.
Well, they should have him speak instead of Sam all the time. Have David Ortiz speak on behalf of the ownership.
That's a good idea. Honestly, that's a good idea. Sam Kennedy's got to be like the lowest Q rating you can have right now. And I'm not a Sam Kennedy hater either. Like I don't hate him.
Very nice guy.
Some people do. He's a good guy. He's a nice guy. He has a tough job. He has to be a meat shield for this ownership group. But yeah, just let Ortiz talk.
No, I mean, the great thing about it was when Ortiz comes in studio, last time he was in studio with me, he brought like a ton of his own cannabis. It was like
really?
David Ortiz cannabis, and it was...
How was it?
So I didn't have any of it. Like, he gave me, like, an entire bag that had, like, a ton of gummy and, like, these giant blunts. Like, these... They looked like baseball bats.
Cheech and Chong.
Really?
I think that they were rolled almost to look like baseball bats, and he gave them to us, and I remember I had it, and I showed it to my wife. I'm like, look what I just got from David Ortiz. This is one of the coolest things that an athlete's ever given me. A giant bag of David Ortiz weed. And I put it underneath my sink, and about 3 years later, I found it, and I'm like, well, this is trash. I took a picture of it and threw it away.
Now, you heard Stiz just told me in my ear
that
I should pivot. He's trying to get me in trouble on my own show.
I wanted an excuse to play.
Uh-huh.
He's done it. He's done it against the Ken Laird.
I'm done with pivoting. I will roll around in the weed talk all day.
Oh, no. Oh, Ken loves
Let's get Polly back on. Let's
he loves
talk
that
weed.
Sweet leaf. Ken loves that sweet leaf.
Can I tell you a heartwarming David Ortiz story?
Please, warm my heart.
After he was shot, my mother sent his family a condolence note, like saying, hey, I'm glad you're okay. Like that, get well soon, blah, blah, blah.
How'd she get his address?
I have no idea. My mom's very mysterious in that kind of way. But she did. And she got a letter, and on the outside it was a 34, and the Red Sox, like, you know, number kind of, you know, where they're all retired, it looks like a 34.
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, thank you very much for the note. Very appreciated. And, you know, signed David Ortiz.
That's pretty cool. How'd she get his address?
I don't know, man. I have no, that, I don't know. Yeah, maybe she sent it to Fenway.
Maybe it was his weed company. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe, because he has his own, it's like his own, I think he's just kind of the face of certain products. Like he, it's, I'm trying to
Big Poppy Sweet Sluggers, is that it?
That's it, that's yeah. it. Ooh. It was a Sweet Sluggers. They're like, they look like bats almost. Still in operation? They're huge. I guess
looks like it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that new Dia across the street from Fenway has it right there.
So they also at that place have this giant, like, 5-foot baseball bat bong, which is like the David Ortiz super bong. Someone sent me a picture of it. It's pretty interesting looking, but it's at that place. It's across from Fenway, and it's like downstairs.
Yeah, new Dia.
Yeah,
they're open until midnight.
Of course,
right by
they are.
The cast.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Right. Right next to the cast.
See Absolutely. You there, Jackson.
Yep. That's Yeah, they're huge. I mean, when I say that, I've seen, like, a big blunt before, but this is a really big one. So when he came to me, he's, like, smiling, like, you're going to like it. And I'm like, yes, David Ortiz. If I tried it, I probably would, but it just sat under my sink for 3 years.
But still good, man.
I like the fact that David's talking, Theo's talking, Lorenzo's talking. We got a lot of action going on with the Red Sox right now.
Listen, I like it, too. And I like the fact that there's somebody trying to figure out or at least show the world how messed up things are behind the scenes right now. That article that came out about Breslow just confirmed what we all thought, is that it's all
the
seems
cluster.
To be right. It seems to be run by analytics and not by anyone using their head. And Theo was excellent on whatever podcast it was recently talking about how that's like an art that's gone now. Like people don't, we've relied too much on technology. It's truly helped kind of, I don't want to say ruin the sport, but it's made people lazy. And I think that the teams that don't put in the work, are you can almost instantly figure out who they are. And that is the pure definition of what the Red Sox are going through right now. And according to that article, too, a lot of their scouts say they got rid of. They, you know, they
What
they,
scouts?
Right, exactly.
Well, the one guy that said Brez was a stiff or whatever when the mic was still on, the Zoom was still on, he got axed right the day after.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's now just Lorenzo, Jim Rice, and the rest of the driveline around the cage every day.
That's right.
I mean, it's awkward.
It is a strange place that they're in. But, I mean, hopefully they could turn it around. That would be nice. Hopefully Lorenzo could go down there and start teaching them all how to hit again and not just Caleb Durbin. That would be fantastic. It's just a really weird spot that they're in, and I don't have any faith that they're going to be able to turn it around while Breslow's there. I think you got to make some sort of change.
And good news that Aaron Judge has shoulder soreness today, so maybe tide is turning. New York sports heading down. Knicks are going to get swept by the Spurs.
You think they're going to swept?
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying six. I think.
I can't. I hope that happens.
Six
it's
games.
Like, it's like the most embarrassing New York finals performance of all time. All this excitement, you know, all the fans are there. They'll be there for game three and just get humiliated. They got out 3-0.
Yeah, but what's Boston going to say to them? You know?
Right. Well, they're in the finals.
They have not won. New York, the city of New York, you know what the last title is?
Yankees 09?
2011. They won 2000 and...
Oh, the Giants.
The Giants.
Yeah, okay.
But it's been 15 years for the city of New York, last sports title.
It's the last one, huh?
With what, six pro teams?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Embarrassing. So that's what you say.
True.
We got the Red Sox. We won in 2018. Damn it! You
know? We've won more recently. That's true.
Oh, it's. I have a feeling that it's going to go at least six games. It's going to be better than we thought. I think it's going to be an excellent, one of the highest rated finals in forever.
Is Wemby the face of the NBA? Is it fair to say that?
I heard somebody say that earlier. I sure. Okay, fine. Yeah, he is.
I don't think he is yet.
I don't think he is.
He's just the latest guy to maybe win a championship. There's a new champion every year.
LeBron is still the face. If he wins, he's going to be one step closer to being the face. Until LeBron retires, he's the face. Steph Curry's the face.
Yeah,
like it's those two guys.
Yeah.
It's Curry and LeBron.
Quiet on the LeBron front. I have not heard any. What are we hearing here?
It's when he becomes a Celtics. Then we will find out. Yes, we will. Sure. All right. 617-779-7937. We will take your calls next.
Nice. Well done.
Damn, I forget. Ice-T was good.
Wow. He was good back in the day.
I, like, forget that.
Somebody light up the suckers. Okay, let's stop. This was one of the rare rap albums that infiltrated Hick, Kennesaw, Georgia, where I lived growing up. And I was obsessed with Ice-T's Power album. Obsessed. And then eventually, like, De La Soul infiltrated, and I was a big De La Soul fan. And it just, you know, that was, It was this weird cocoon I was in this really redneck town that I grew up in. And every once in a while, we got something like that, and it just blew my mind. It was like that right next to, like, my, you know, rat cassette or whatever it was that I was listening to.
Oh,
at the
rat.
Time.
So Ted's the only one who hasn't rapped on the air yet. Well, Ted and Jackson, I guess. Because we know Stiz is an accomplished rapper, and both of you guys I now have learned are both ill MCs, too. Right
that
here,
might be the only song I know every lyric to. That's
really?
Song. That's it. As I said, I was just obsessed with Ice-T, actually the Power album. And it was funny, you know, how a lot of people say that, you know, the Chronic was one of the first albums to use, like, skits. Like, they had, like, the skits in it and everything like that. Ice-T's Power album starts with one of the worst skits ever because he does both voices of the people. It's like, hey, man, I got the new Ice-T album. No, you don't, man. Yeah, I do. Give me that. No, you take it. I want it. And it's like literally one take, him just doing both voices and both sounds just exactly like Ice-T. And then he shoots him and he goes, oh, man, I shot him. Well, let's listen to it. And then this, it starts. And then it ends with the guy, I think, you know, dying in pain as he's saying, that was a great album. So there you go.
It's kind of a good
Arkan, I let my bass do my talking. And you know, I played bass for a heavy metal band for a while, Brad.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Doesn't mean you can't rap.
Oh, yes, it does.
Were you into, like, the big rap rock thing that was in the early 2000s?
Oh, no.
There is one rap rock band that's actually very good that you would like, and that's Stuck Mojo. Matter of fact, there would be no Seven Dust if it wasn't for Stuck Mojo. Seven Dust used to open for Stuck Mojo and pretty much, like, stole their sound, but they got a singer instead of a rapper. If you take a listen, that is, like, early Stuck Mojo is what Seven Dust, that's where they came from.
I saw Seven Dust open for Creed at UMass when I was in high school.
Oh, yes, you did.
Well,
what a
show.
What a duo.
I saw Seven Dust at every concert between 2000 and 2008.
Did Scott Stapp levitate over the crowd?
Definitely.
I do want to play this clip. We had mentioned a second ago, this is a Rich Certainly pivot. and this is Theo Epstein. Theo Epstein was on a podcast, and he said exactly what's wrong with your Boston Red Sox right now. Now, he mentioned something, what, was like a month ago? He had, like, thrown something out there, like, that was a little bit of a shot at Craig Breslow and the way Breslow ran things.
This was the same podcast. So,
okay, but yeah. this is just later
it's
on.
It's just now people went back in mind. In fact, Tim Healy mentioned this yesterday when he was on with us.
That's right.
And people went and grabbed the clip.
And good on him, because it is weird, because I remember when we first started talking about him being on this podcast, we were like, I totally forgot that he was even involved in the Boston Red Sox. Remember when they announced it a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, this could be good. And then he just, nothing ever happened.
No.
You never heard his name. I still don't know exactly what he does, but I guess that he's just an ear, or he's a voice that they listen to. I don't know if it's like he's just a guy who has a direct phone line to, you know, John Henry himself as he's eating his ice cream with his lovely wife. Or it's more than that. But I do know that it sounds like when he says something like this, this was meant to be heard by someone in the Red Sox. It almost seems like a direct message to Craig Breslow, does it not? Let's take a listen. This is Theo Epstein on a podcast talking about what he believes the Red Sox have been doing wrong.
I think it's probably an important time in the game to touch on that, because we're right now we're a little bit out of balance. You know, there's an equilibrium in the game where data is important, analytics are important, technology is important, and you can use those tools to help you make good predictions about how players are going to perform in the future. But if it's done at the exclusion of the human element and, you know, the humanism, essentially human beings getting to know other people, understanding what makes them tick, developing a connection with them, understanding them better that way and putting them in a position to succeed, then it's not worth it. And you can fall out of balance. And so, you know, in some circles, scouting and invest in seeing beyond the stat sheet, seeing beyond the predictive model and understanding, you know, what really makes a person tick as a human, as a teammate, and as a player is becoming a bit of a lost art.
It is. And I heard somebody refer it to it yesterday as putting in the work. Is that teams are not putting in the work anymore. They're relying on analytics. There's probably a whole lot of AI that they've got that can shoot out numbers and they can, you know, put in something in their algorithm, a certain set, and say, who are the people who fit this set? But that's the problem. And we read then that Breslow article that was really good in the Boston Globe, where they were talking about how Craig Breslow and the type of algorithm that they're running right now does not want a player that's over the age of 30 that can't play more than one position. And what was the big swing and miss that they did on that?
Well, there's a million of them, but Schwarber seems like first and foremost.
Schwarber's the big one. Schwarber's somebody that if you just used your brain and you talked to the guy and you actually used your, I guess, your head instead of the computer, you would have realized that this is someone who could have been very valuable on a team that absolutely needed offense. And what did he do? He came back and embarrassed you. He came back here and absolutely embarrassed you. And you know what? He's been embarrassing you all season long. And that's because part of their algorithm, they plug in a certain set that they need to meet. And that one was, it was like, if X is over 30, then equals no. And then, you know, if X plays only one position, not two, and you lose out on good players like that because you leave it in the hands of some microchip.
But the problem, the weird thing is, Theo is the reason Breslow's here. He hired him in Chicago. He got him this job. Granted, he wasn't the first choice, but he
groomed
suggested
him, basically,
him. Right, so now he's turning on him, and he's saying, at least through the story, through other sources, I don't know directly, I'm disappointed in Craig. But, you know, that's a little speaking out of both sides of your mouth, or unless Breslow's just changed and gone reckless robot. I mean, I don't know why, you know, what is happening?
So he probably thought, I'm just going to try to jump into Theo Epstein's head. First thing I got is Jam on the mind, Pearl Jam.
Yeah,
just play it to your fingers.
Pretend, yeah.
But over the soundtrack of the Versus album, if I was in his head, the first thing I would think is Craig Breslow is a player. He's somebody who played the game. He played the game for a long time. He was well-liked. So he's somebody who, despite relying on the tools that he will have at his disposal to be able to break down analytics, he'll always remember that he was a player first, and that he will have that in mind when making these deals and remember the human element. Yeah. The thing that he's talking about is missing, but something happened. Where just Breslow just said, you know what?
Doesn't leave the office.
And
now he needs a human interpreter.
Exactly. And it does sound to me it's as simple as doing the work.
Do you think he's getting fired? If you had to predict, do you think they're going to pull the plug mid-season on Breslow?
Mid-season is, I don't know, but he's definitely getting fired. Like, if they continue on this road, if they are either last or second to last in their division, you bet your ass he's getting fired. And you know what? Good for them. They should. I don't root for anybody to get fired, but you can't accept what you've been getting out of this team lately. And you can blame it almost completely on just a complete lack of planning, not knowing. How did you not know that you would need offense? Why did you set this team up to rely on a kid who ends up getting injured? I mean, that's obviously not under control, but why would you put the pressure on a kid to essentially have to carry your offense?
But if that's the case and you're out of it at the deadline, then you don't want this guy making your trades for you, right?
Right. You don't
wait till the end of the year. So then you have Theo just assume GM roles.
That would be awesome. Hell yeah, bring Theo back.
Honestly.
That'd be fine. But even Theo, I don't know if he could have had a better offseason last year, the Chapman, Crochet, Bregman offseason. Like, that was a great offseason. That's why I hesitate to say fire Breslow, because he did, when given the, you know, druthers, was able to put a really good offseason together, and that team went to the playoffs. Now, this one obviously wasn't as good, but he's shown that he can do it. You know what I mean? Like, he's actually shown you that he can make decent moves here and there.
But not
in last year, there were some good ones. In season, definitely not.
No, absolutely. And I have no faith that he's going to be able to do anything at this trade deadline, even if it's even worth doing anything at the trade deadline other than unloading and getting some sort of value.
Boy, how you've changed from last Wednesday. One win over your hometown Braves, you were like, this team's back, we're ready to roll.
They were winning the World Series.
It was unbelievable. They had won that series 2-1.
Oh, they were on fire. By the way, we are broadcasting from the Ketchus Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. We are not going anywhere. In 2 minutes, we'll be back with some more A.J. Brown news. Not going anywhere. I'm going to be staring at this microphone for 2 minutes, and we'll be right back.